Hallelujah. The war is over. Sometimes realizing that something is over actually takes a huge amount of realization. I don't know if you've ever faced that. Some things we enjoy and we just don't want them to be over, like a great holiday. Out there in Florida somewhere, you just don't want it to come to an end. But have you ever had a dream? And you're sleeping and you're dreaming this wonderful dream, and then you wake up and you realize, okay, back to reality. And you close your eyes and you wish you could get back into that dream. So sometimes things are over. One of the stewards can get to the door, please. There's people looking like they want to come in. Thank you. Sometimes things are over and we don't want them to be over. Sometimes in life we suffer things and they do come to an end, but we almost can't believe that it's over. For instance, a person in remission from cancer might get a clear bill of health, but somewhere in the back of their mind they still may be afraid that that thing may reoccur. But the battle with sin and death is over, never to reoccur again. Colossians 2 verses 14 and 15 says this: having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So all our sin, he has nailed to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2 verses 14 and 15 vividly describes and shows us what God did for those who trust in his Son, who died on the cross for us. The Amplified version of the Bible puts it this way: the record of debt that stood against us, he set aside. There's a record of debt on every single one of our lives that stood against us. And Jesus has dealt with it. He has nailed it to the cross. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing them over them in him. Jesus triumphed over the enemy, the devil, within himself for all of us. And he put the devil and all the powers and authorities and all the demonic powers that belonged to the devil, he put them to open shame. And he's triumphed over them. Why is it then that we face battles in our lives? Why is it then that sometimes we just don't seem to get the victory? Well, the cross shows us that the victory is ours in Jesus' name. We may still have battles. We live in a fallen, broken world. And we still may have battles day in and day out. But we can have the victory. We may lose a few battles along the way, but ultimately, in Jesus' name, we will win the war. Amen. Going to Good Friday in the book of John, chapter 19, from verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's Good Friday. In this context, it's not Good Friday in Bacchus Hill, or in London, or anywhere else in the world. It's Good Friday in Jerusalem. And a huge crowd had gathered, at a place called Golgotha, also known as Skull Hill. It was on the north side of the city, just outside the Damascus Gate. It was located by the side of a well-travelled road. This was a very public place. It was as public as probably driving past Stonehenge, where everybody slows down. Have you always noticed? There's always a traffic jam around Stonehenge, but nothing to cause the traffic jam, except people slowing down to look. Same kind of road where people could slow down to look at people crucified, hanging naked in public shame. Near the Son of God, crucified in public shame, was there where people slow down, not only to look, but to spit and to laugh in jest and to scoff and to jeer and to mock. The Romans liked killing people in execution in public places because it brought about a sense of authoritative fear. You don't do what we say, that's how you're going to land up. What a terrible system to be under. And remember, going back a week ago to Palm Sunday, that's the system the Jews thought Jesus would overthrow. On Palm Sunday, with palm branches, I see you've got a few palm branches up in the front there, they shouted out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the city of David, the city David set up as his capital 1,000 years earlier, which was under Roman oppression for almost half that time. They thought he was coming to save them then from Roman oppression. But Jesus had a much greater picture in mind. He had you and me and the nations of this earth in mind when he rode into Jerusalem that day on the donkey. And today, we find ourselves, Good Friday, with a huge crowd. And the crucifixion had started for 3 hours. Everything had proceeded normally. Then at exactly 12 noon, the sky went pitch black. Not overcast, but pitch black. So black that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It wasn't anything normal like an eclipse. The darkness seemed to pulse. The darkness seemed to throb, almost like the darkness was a living thing unleashed, like you would see in a sci-fi movie. Not that I watch sci-fi movies, but this was no movie. What happened was real. For 3 hours, darkness fell across the city of Jerusalem. There were screams. Graves were opened. There were hideous cries and moans. The curtain in the temple had been torn in two. Then suddenly, just as it had all started, the darkness lifted, disappeared, dissipated, vanished, and sanity returned to the earth. Hung completely naked before the crowd. The pain and damage caused by the crucifixion was designed to be so devilishly intense that one would continually long for death, but death would not come quickly. Our attention right now is on the cross of Christ. Christ's body trembling, convulsing uncontrollably, his chest heaving with every torturous breath. Then it happened. Jesus said something. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Someone in the crowd shouted back at him. Moments passed. Death drew near. Then a whisper, "I thirst." The soldiers put some vinegar on a sponge and lifted it to Christ's lips on a stalk of a hyssop. He moistened his lips. He took a deep breath. If you listened really carefully, you could probably hear death rattling in his throat. He had less than a minute left to live. Then he spoke it. It was a quick shout. In the Greek, it was one word. One word that brought a change to all humanity. It is finished. Three words in English, one word in Greek, tetelestai. If you can go to that slide, please. We've done that one. Next one. The word tetelestai from the Greek verb teleo. Sounds like Greek to you, doesn't it? An amazing word. It means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. It's not a defeated end. It's a successful end. It's the end where you would celebrate, like somebody taking on Mount Everest and getting to that peak and celebrating. It is finished. Tetelestai, teleo, to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. I've done what I've set out to do. That's what Jesus said in one word. I've done what I've set out to do. It's like when you make your final mortgage payment. It is finished on a very, very, human level, of course. Of course, Jesus' words meant much more. And it means much more than I survived. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. And the Greek tense is very important here. It's not the past tense. It's the present tense, which means what Jesus set out to do covers past, present, future. He's been there in your past. He's seen where we've come from. He's seen what we're going through. He's with us in our present. And He'll take us right into our futures. And His blood that He shed on the cross avails for our past. His blood avails for our present. And His blood avails for our future. What Jesus did on the cross covers our past. It covers our present. And it covers our future. Hallelujah. Jesus did not say, I am finished. Because He wasn't finished. Easter Sunday was coming. He knew that. He would rise again from the dead. What He was saying, that He had successfully completed the mission. The war is over. The war of sin and death against humanity is over. Past, present, and future. The dominion of the devil and all the bad things and all the bondage and all the addiction and all the hurt and all the affliction that the devil could ever place on us. Past, present, and future. It is finished. Tetelestai. The perfect tense. Once and for all. The writer to the Hebrews said that Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. Wow. The war is over. Don't take my word for it. Take Christ's final word on the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. What's holding you in your life from your past? What's holding you in your present? What are you fearful of about your future? That you can know that Christ has said, tetelestai. Now my time's almost up, but if you put up the next screen, please. Matthew Henry makes an important few comments on this. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator from about 300 years ago, lists 8 things that was finished. I don't have time to get into it all. Let's just run through them. Thank you, Julian. Work with me. Number 1, the malice of his enemies was finished. But nailing him to the cross, they had done their worst to him. It is finished. Number two, the sufferings ordained by God was finished. Jesus spoke about in his earthly ministry the work he was sent to do, the hour of trouble that was coming, the baptism of suffering that he had to undergo. It is finished. Thirdly, all the Old Testament prophecies and types up to that point, it is finished. He had been given vinegar to drink, Psalm 69:21. He had been sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11:12. His hands and feet had been pierced. Not tied, pierced. Scripture, prophecy revealed, come to life, Psalm 22:16. His garments had been divided, Psalm 22:16. His side had been pierced, Zechariah 12:10. And there were many other prophecies surrounding him then and in his future. So all the Old Testament prophecies and types were fulfilled. Number four, the ceremonial law had been abolished. There's now a new and a better way. The war is over. Number five, the price of sin was paid in full. John 1:29, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus. Can you remember the words John the Baptist used? He said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The perfect Lamb to take away the sin of the world. The war is over. Number six, his physical sufferings were at an end. The storm was over. The worst was past. All his pains and agonies came to an end. And he endured the cross for the joy set before him, the salvation of humanity. Number seven, his life was now finished on earth. He still had time on earth, but his mission was accomplished. It is finished. Imagine getting to the end of life, being able to say, "I have done all that God wanted me to do. It is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit." And lastly, the work of redemption was complete. So the death of Christ provided, Matthew Henry continues to give us four things. Let's put them up. The death of Christ provided a, thank you, full satisfaction of sin. We don't have to pay off our debt of sin in installments. We don't have to try and pay it. Because if we say, "Lord, I'm going to pay for my sin," we are not taking seriously the full and the complete work of Christ on the cross. We simply have to receive and enter the new life. Enter the new life. We've got to move from the past into the present, take on what Jesus has done on the cross, step through what Jesus did into our futures, set free from all of that. We too look back on the cross. We look back on the cross. He's dealt with our sin. We live a new life in the present. And we look forward to Jesus coming again. The death of Christ provided a full satisfaction for sin. The death of Christ provided a fatal blow to the enemy, to Satan. This was prophesied in Genesis, right in the beginning. The theological term is proto-evangelion, the prototype evangelism, where it says the devil's head will be crushed by the seed of a woman. Wow. A final blow to the enemy. The enemy's crushed. He's crushed. He's crushed. And he's underneath our feet. He's not on our shoulder. He's not in our head when he tries to get in our head. He's not sitting on us. He's underneath our feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. In Romans. Do you remember that song? He used to sing it. If you didn't, where have you been? Anyway, he's a fatal blow to the enemy. Fourthly, the death of Christ provided a fountain of grace opened that will flow forever. Can you come to his fountain of grace? His fountain of grace which flows freely for you. And he can get you into that place where you can know the war is over. And lastly, the death of Christ provided a fountain of peace that will last forever. You can have peace with God now and forever. Don't wait till your deathbed. Don't wait till it's too late. You can have the peace of God which surpasses, transcends, one translation says, all understanding in your heart, in your life today. And not live from a place of angst and agony, but live from a place of His amazing grace and peace. Look, it's 7:57. I'm coming into an end. I have to say this. Jesus paid in full the price for the sins of the world. Merrill Tenney, in the Expositor's Bible Commentary, notes that the verb tetelestai, teleo, was used in the 1st and 2nd century in the sense of fulfilling or paying a debt. And you'd often see it on a receipt. They would write tetelestai. We can come to the Lord with our bill today, with all our sin on it, all our worries, all our pains, all our illnesses, everything, all our hang-ups. And we can bring it, and we can give it to Jesus. Bring it to His fountain of grace. Bring it to His fountain of peace. Bring it to His fountain of blood. And He applies, and He writes over that. Tetelestai. Paid in full. It is finished. The war is over. I conclude with Romans 8:37-39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray together. Tetelestai, it is finished. Past, present, and future. What are you carrying around with you from your past, which Jesus says it is finished? What are you living with now? What are you afraid of in the future that He can write over your life? Tetelestai, those things are finished. It is finished. Pray 2 prayers this morning. Prayer number 1 is for Christians. And you are carrying things around with you that Jesus said is finished. Hurts and hang-ups and things from the past that are tripping you up and making you stumble over your very self right now. And Jesus wants to write over your life, it is finished. The war is over. Rise up victorious through the blood of the Lamb. It's the first prayer I want to pray for Christians who need to reappropriate that to their lives. The second prayer is for those who have never given their lives to Jesus, or you have at one point. You had done that, but you've moved away. And today is the day of coming back and saying, Jesus, I believe in You. I open my life to You today. If that's you, you just talk to Jesus about that now. I'm going to get you in a bit. But first of all, to those Christians carrying things around, unforgiveness, hurt, the scars of abuse, Jesus knows about it. He's seen it all. He carries your pain. But it is finished. It is finished. Where life has thrown you unfair blows and has been unjust towards you, that doesn't define you. The cross in the resurrection of Christ defines you. I'm not defined by my past. I'm not defined by my present. I'm not defined by my human future. I'm defined by the work of Christ in my life. And so are you. It is finished. It is finished. Name that thing in your life of those things where you actually see Jesus writing over the bell. Tetelestai. It is finished. And give them to Him. Give them to Him. Give them to Him. Take them and give them to Him. You know, I believe in prophetic action. Sometimes you've got to make an action that's prophetic. And if that's you, while every eye's closed, head is bowed, you know, metaphorically, take that piece of paper in your hand with all those things written on it and hold it up to Jesus now and allow Him to write over that. Come on, I see folks doing that. Be brave this morning. Metaphorically, take that piece of paper with those things written on it. Jesus can see it and allow Him with His blood to not only write over that tetelestai, but to cover it. But to cover it. It's covered. It's dealt with. It is finished. The war is over. And Lord, hands are going up all over the show. People are holding up things. And Lord, would You write over those things? It is finished. The war is over. And bring Your new life, Your new covenant, Your grace and Your peace and Your miraculous presence and resurrection power. Now, this morning, it is finished. I declare it and prophesy it. It is finished. Enter the new day based on what Jesus has done. Not based on what you've done or haven't done, but based on what Jesus has done. God bless you. You can put down your hands and walk in that victory. Now I'm talking to you. You've either moved away from the Lord or you need to come to Him for the first time. Could you pray this prayer with all your heart and say, dear Jesus, thank You for Good Friday. Thank You for Good Friday. Good Friday is good news to me today. Good Friday is good news to me today. I confess that I'm a sinner. And I need Your grace. I need Your grace. I receive what You accomplished on the cross for me. I receive what You accomplished on the cross for me. And I believe in the resurrection. And I believe in the resurrection. Come into my life. Make me a child of God. Thank You that my old life is finished. And my new life has begun. Thank You, Jesus. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, would you slip up your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you, but just slip up your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. You can put down your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Please put down your hand. Anybody else? Just be brave. God sees every hand going up, every heart. Lord, You've seen the two hands go up, but You've also seen hearts open to You this morning. Would You seal salvation with Your Holy Spirit? And may this Good Friday be a special Good Friday. An historic Good Friday, where once and for all, it is finished. And a new life has begun in Your new covenant of grace. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Worship team, would you come on up and lead us in a final song this morning about God's amazing grace and